You have a number of drugs in oncology now in the same class that people have a hard time separating out in terms of efficacy, PARP inhibitors, CDK inhibitors. What about these two BTK inhibitors in terms of efficacy? Again, you're looking at indirect data, but kind of does it look the same?
To me, it looks pretty much the same. Acala in some trials looks a bit better. However, these are single-arm trials or they're randomized trials, but not against ibrutinib. So I think we have to be very careful here. Both are very good drugs. Both are very efficacious. Both have, in part, the same side effect profile, but they have their individual things, such as the arthralgia or the headache in particular. I think to have the final word here, we need to look at the head-to-head randomized comparative data.
When do you think we might see it? And you would think that you could see some really interesting toxicity tolerability data way earlier than efficacy, long-term efficacy. When do you think we could see that?
Yeah, this is an interesting point. Tolerability probably is the more important endpoint in that trial as compared to progression-free survival, which we would hope is different. On the other hand, you don't want to lose your good efficacy and you want to preserve the endpoint of progression-free survival and not unblind the trial too early to risk, you know, that it is not conclusive in the end. So I think we should keep patient and really maintain the robustness and maintain trial integrity and not break it open too early.
How many trials are out there like that?
Yeah, well, basically it's one large trial that is comparing head to head. So we are really heavily relying on that trial to make a decision. So even more important to have that trial read very well.
But I mean, you would think it'd be a long time before you'll see efficacy data, right?
Yes, absolutely. As I said, you know, it's good to have both available and we can have the option to switch even before we know these trial data. I think the patient will answer us the question if he can withstand the treatment, if he benefits from the treatment. And it's good to have these options available.
You know, it's interesting when you think about it. Okay, you know, people are comfortable enough to use either one of these in clinical trial, you know, to make it a flip of the coin. And yet from a regulatory or practical purposes, you can't really do it right now. I don't know. Maybe it's coming. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, so far, as you said, Acala has the license for mantle cell lymphoma in the United States. It actually, in Europe, it doesn't even have that. So it's Acala is only an experimental option in Europe at this point in time in general. There will be a license, as we know, the trials comparing it against bendamustine rituximab or rituximab idelalisib read positively, and the frontline trial against obinutuzumab chlorambucil also was positive. So there is data available showing that it is a good treatment option as compared to other options that we had available. But at least in Europe, we still have to wait until it is licensed.
I wonder, you know, though, when you think about it, if you have a patient like the one you just described with these terrible arthralgias, whether or not you could access, you know, calibrutinib for a patient like that in the United States.
Yeah, so at least in Europe or in Germany, where I can speak to, we have this option when a drug is on the market, when it is licensed for another indication, that you can prescribe it and you can ask for reimbursement for that drug if you provide scientific evidence why you would use that in this patient. This is the way, for instance, also venetoclax was used quite a bit in AML combined with epigenetic agents, because the trial data is out there, the license, although not available yet in Europe in this indication, and it's off-label use clearly, but when a drug is on the market, you can apply for its use in a patient.
That's really interesting. Those data are so compelling. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing anything like this happen in oncology. The data is so impressive. I can understand, you know, how people would try to get a hold of it.